Okay. How does one invoke a hard response? How does one make another squirm and squeal? All these questions come to the decision on basic nature of humanity. What I fail to understand is why many humans continually, time and time again, watch the genre of horror. What I also don't understand is why they somehow are fascinated by being, or actually, why are they so fascinated with the experience of being discomforted? And also, I'm very confused as to how they can just go back to their everyday lives after they finish.
So one of the reasons we subject ourselves to horrific and terrifying things is because simply we don't want to be bored. Søren Birkvard of the Inland Norway University of Applied Sciences claims that horror films essentially just entertain us. The studies conducted by him and the university and the personality show a trend between people who are easily bored and a trait for sensation seeking, meaning they will search out stimulation simply to stave off being bored. This goes further to the point where people will purposefully choose pain over boredom, subjecting themselves to electrical shocks to stave off the space in between time.
Yeah, that really makes sense though, because you know, hearing about like adrenaline junkies and stuff like that, people who just kind of all do it for the seek of the thrill, like, you know, like those people who do like the skydiving on a regular basis.
And and you were talking earlier about your brother who would keep himself up at night watching
you would listen to these horror like recordings on YouTube, like these horror stories taken off a forum page. And
oh, I know exactly what you're talking about.
Like the no sleep.
Mr. Nightmare, bro. Yeah. I used to do that too, I swear.
Exactly. And he used to like, and you would hear him up at night because my walls were pretty thin. And it would be like, why are you torturing yourself,
like,
keeping yourself up, listening to these things? And it was just because he was bored. I mean, it's just because he wanted something to entertain him and keep him on the edge of his seat, which makes
sense.
They really
keep you on the edge.
Okay, moving on. The second reason we watch horror films is to understand evil, which is more or less going to be what we're focusing on during the rest of this segment. We want to understand evil through the psychology of people, as in the past it's been explained through just simply demons or some religious philosophy that, you know, invokes a like disturbed mind. But now we come to understand the psychotherapy and the reasoning behind the sort of fractured mentality that we see in horror films.
Which is interesting, because I really do think that also highlights our little another thing in human nature, which is our desire to understand something that we don't understand. Okay. To the point like where we either make up something and make up an excuse to explain, just give us a logical reasoning behind why something happens.
I was watching this movie on Netflix. I forgot, I can't really remember what it was called, but I remember like the actor, there's a scene, like it's all about this guy who makes up like an illusion of what happened. So he goes to a gas station, his family is having a whole bunch of problems, he has a wife and a daughter, like there's a whole bunch of problems going on, and he throws the rock and hits her in the head and makes her fall into a like a construction site, and it's obviously like way below the ground because they're building up a building she fell straight to the basement on the concrete, died right there. But his mind created a whole like story that there was a dog there, like the way the daughter started backing up into the pit was because the dog was scaring her, but in reality he threw the rock, hit her in the head, she falls down. Then the wife here, like, she comes because the wife went inside the gas station to get like food and stuff while they're on a road trip. She comes back out and she's like, where's my daughter? He's like, oh, she fell. He shows her, she's on the ground dead. So then she's like, she realizes like what's going on, what happened, she starts questioning, and he just blacks out and he pushes her into mind you, like, there's a whole bunch of nails sticking out all over the place, pushes her, goes right through the side of her head. But his mind created a totally different story, that she woke up, the mom was like, oh, it's okay, it's okay, it's okay. And then he starts playing out a whole story.
So does the story unfold after?
Yeah, it unfolds.
So the story is after the family's dead, like, it's the story of what happened.
Yeah, like, once everybody dies, it shows a false reality of what happened. And then after it explains the whole story, it tells you what really happened.
So it shows how basically he suppressed that trauma.
Exactly. Your mind is very weird. Like, it finds a way. If it can't deal with something, it finds its own way to explain the situation. I think that's what happens in a lot of horror movies. So.
Okay. The third and final reason, which we won't be covering too much, is the creation of a complex ability within ourselves, the ability to control anxieties.
Keeping your cool.
Yeah. Yeah. Professor Burkvard says, in psychology, we call this activation of feeling emotional regulation. By watching horror films, one can have a sense of control over both the situation or the viewing experience, and over the feeling of fear. Watching a scary film may possibly also function as a distraction from other feelings. So, essentially, watching a horror film can help us gain control over ourselves and our own, like, neuroses, essentially. But if we have another set of powerful feelings that we might want to ignore, we might accept the flow of very powerful emotions that are invoked by horror films. But for the focus of this podcast, we'll be talking about focusing on the second of these ideas, the unraveling of evil within the mind, through the lens of the 1991 horror sensation, The Silence of the Lambs.
So what actually makes The Silence of the Lambs such a compelling horror film, and how does it appeal to the idea of unraveling an evil psyche? And, you know, I mean, I feel that, well, first off, we have to look at the storyline, which is obviously that the FBI agent wants to get a better understanding, which talks about what we talked about already, but she wants to get an understanding of how a psychopath like Buffalo Bill, who is another character in the story, thinks, which is something that FBI agents and federal agents typically do often. And I think, and the way that they do it is they go through another person, which would be Hannibal Lecter in this story. And Hannibal Lecter gives her she gets what she wants, and she gets an understanding of the psyche of a psychopath, but just not in the direct way she thought she would. She gets kind of like shocked and dropped into, like, literally, and I think a really a good quote to kind of describe it would be, if you look into the void for too long, the void may look back into you, which honestly really unfolds throughout the entire movie.
Yeah, that very much
that
very much gives the mindset of Hannibal, like how he is that just this ominous void that you can't really avoid,
and you can't really put your thumb on exactly what he is. And that's what kind of intrigues a lot of people to Hannibal, because no matter, like, even if, like, you could see that he laughs at something, like, you don't know what underlying emotions or, like, thoughts, and you know there's some underlying thoughts that are going on that's, like, he's not actually just laughing, he's thinking something, but you just can't tell what he's thinking.
So, let's actually talk about Hannibal first.
Yeah.
So, because we're already in this, we're already deep in the pit here, so.
Yeah.
Something in the presentation, something that is unique about Hannibal in his initial presentation in the movie is that he is shown as a level above his fellow inmates.
Yeah.
He, like, everyone else has
completely glass cell.
Yeah.
And
like, everyone else has metal bars that they can reach through
with a muzzle around his mouth.
Yeah. Yeah. He has the...
He's basically essentially treated like an animal.
He's treated like... Yeah, exactly.
Because he is.
Yeah.
You get too close and you get your tongue eaten out of your face.
Yeah, fucking eat people.
It's, yeah. So basically, So he shows himself as this power playing character in the beginning, that he has all the authority and all the cards, and then you get this very disturbing intervention from one of his cellmates, and he is profusely apologetic about that. Mm-hmm. And he actually, and like this intense reversal of character shows that, like, it should, like, he is portrayed to be an animal, but you get a sense that he has this moral code.
Yeah, he still has, he's not completely there. He still has a little bit of humanity left.
Yeah, like, he will not accept, like, just, if he's going to hurt someone, he wants to be the one to hurt them.
Exactly.
Yeah.
If something does not go according to his plan, he will lose it, and he will.
Really good thing that you mentioned that, because it also feel like we could talk about this for Bill. Both of them have like this need to be in control of the scenario that they're dropped into, which is a really common idea when you look at psychopaths especially, which is the whole focus of the film again. Like, it's just all focused around how these two guys, how one's been caught and the other hasn't been caught yet though, but it's just about how they want to control the specific scenario in which they're in.
Okay, so moving on, another way in which Hannibal is shown to be, like, this is a very small thing, but he convinces his cellmate to kill himself. Like it is clear that his cellmate has mental instabilities, but the ability to convince someone to kill themselves, the ability to literally kill someone through
their mind. Like, that is actually...
That's crazy.
That, for you to do that, like, that just shows... That should let you know. He literally forced somebody to do something without any type of physical, like
motivation.
Yeah, like, that's... I'm at a loss for words for that.
Yeah, it's...
I can't even, like, find a way to wrap my mind around me, like... Try basically using my mind to make somebody do something.
He convinced them essentially.
Yeah,
it's a difficult thing. But
it's like the way they portray it, like he was just whispering.
It wasn't even his suggestion. It was like, I know how they do it. I understand what they're talking about. Like, he'll say something and it'll make him down the line. It'll make him think that it was his idea.
Exactly.
Yeah, and that's just like. That's incredible misdirection right there. That's like Jedi.
Oh my god! Like, I'm that saying that like it gives me like the Inception vibe. How you like you can't really put it. You can put an idea in someone's head, but you can't really
make them act on it.
But the fact that he got to the point where he made him fulfill the plan was
that's crazy. But yeah, it's that idea just makes Hannibal a truly terrifying person. Bill, on the other hand, while we get the sense that Hannibal is this, he's crazy, he can do these, supernatural, incredible things, Buffalo Bill is just a very, hostile, violent entity.
I really feel like he's Bill is, like you said, a hothead, but then you got... Actually, I really feel like it's more like the comparison between the two types that there could be of like these really violent characters in life. Like, you got the one guy who's just a violent brute. He'll doesn't think about his actions. And then you got
Hannibal,
the real evil person who's going to be cold, calculating, manipulative. You know, he's really going to be able to do everything in his power, not just use his strength as his one power. He's going to do everything in his power, from his mind to his strength to influencing those around
him. He has a better grasp of what. I don't want to make it sound like that, but he knows. Genius. He knows what he's doing. Like, one reacts off emotion, the other one is an intellectual. Like, he fully understands what he's doing and at the time that he's doing it and how he wants it to be done.
Exactly. Yeah, they're evil on two very fundamentally different ways.
One is a little reckless, one is a little more strategic.
Yeah, and so, like, the reason we're disturbed by Buff, like, we see these things from Hannibal, we see his composure, his being, what he's done in the past. We see what Bill actually does.
Exactly.
We see how he, like, tricks a girl into getting into his van and then beating her and then, like, wailing on her until she passes out, and we see what he does to her later. He has her literally at the bottom of a well, and he's forcing her to
Stuck in the well again.
I can't even wrap my mind around
It's insanely cruel, no. And it's ridiculous how
like,
he's doing
like your
this.
Mind can I can't even imagine what like and the, there's no way this could be reality. There's
yeah.
no way.
Yeah, well, and the worst part
to
is
to this to this scale, to this magnitude.
Well, to this scale, let's look at like the how the girl being trapped in the well. She's like she's fighting for her life. This in the same way though, if you wanna flip the lens,
he's,
you could kinda look at,
well.
At Hannibal as him kind of fighting for his way of life, because you know, in the end of the movie, of course, he escapes, you know, and he
and
gets, and it ends with him at the cliffhanger, with him walking onto a plane, you know, going off to a, or wait, no, it wasn't him walking off to a plane, it was him meeting someone at
the
airport.
Yeah, he
the
was,
girl.
Yeah, he was pursuing Dr. Chilton.
Yeah.
His,
yeah.
Psychologist.
Yeah, yeah, like, Dr. Chilton is the one keeping him there. He's like here's the thing. Here's
I have
a, here's
to
an overlap.
Friend for dinner.
Oh my god. Oh, but yeah. So you have this throughout the whole movie. And he's just living with a side of farm for beans and I see
a nice
auntie. It's this. That line is it, just. Oh my god.
It just resonates with you,
yeah.
And I think that that's like. And it's just like, and it's not even like the whole movie,
yeah.
Where it's like, it's just the acting of the character, and just the way that it was all directed, just kind
exactly.
of, just certainly like just gives the perfect picture.
Yeah,
of,
it honestly does.
Yeah.
It gives you a very good understanding of the mind of a psychopath, but although that we wouldn't be able to fully wrap
well,
our
I
mind
think,
around
I think quite the opposite, actually, though.
Really?
It's more like a view into the dilemma, which is figuring out these psychopaths, and just kind of like the
actually,
shock.
I think that's,
yeah.
I think that's actually way more.
And just kind of show goes to show as like, why and like and we pursue this information that like logically no per would you ever logically I know you want to be you're a psychology major I'm a psychology mm-hmm. minor all right and I know you take psych with me because you're in my psych class so would you or you ever go in and like want to have a conversation with these people per se like just now thinking about it would you
yeah
with Hannibal Lecter yes with Bill no
well no
I would have a conversation with
like,
both of them
because
I try to I wouldn't say I would try to understand them but I would try to get
no I'm saying like I'm not saying like you get to ask them questions I'm saying you just get to have a conversation
oh like just a friendly conversation
yeah
oh yeah
I,
of course
no,
yeah
most people would say
easily
probably say no
because they're afraid of what they're afraid. It's not afraid, but you're just afraid in general of the human being. Like they're hard. Like imagine Jeffrey Dahmer sitting across the table from you. Like imagine all the things that would go through your head. You'd be shitting your pants.
Well, exactly. That's what I'm trying to say, though, is that you no regular human being would want to be seated
yeah.
across the, from another person. But then when we look at like when we get a little deeper into our minds, we kind of look at how in reality. We want what we don't have, and we want what we really can have, which is the understanding.
Exactly.
So yeah, something that I get to later in this is like if you were to have these two individuals, like you wouldn't want to have an interaction with
Bill.
Bill,
yeah.
Okay,
Bill is
fair,
just...
but like if they're both on this like comparison, if. Like, Hannibal is on the other side of the glass, and he has no reason to spite you. Like,
He won't. Bill is just coming, going for everybody.
Yeah.
Everybody's going down.
Yeah, because, yeah, like, looking into his mindset, you get, like, there's no consideration, there's no
exactly.
kindness, like, there's no charm,
Hannibal,
essentially. I know Hannibal is not kind,
but
he's just
he's
charming.
Still
he allows you
like
to,
a little
yeah, like,
charm
he can gain
when it
respect.
Comes to certain people.
Yeah, you can, like...
You can earn his respect.
Yeah.
Which is also very true about psychopaths, again.
Yeah, it's like, you want, like, they want you to like them, essentially. They
yeah.
want to have, like, they want to show you, like, they want that they want you to like them, but
they're
they also want to show that in a way
in their
they're
power
better than you.
To make sure, yeah. like, you... Like them.
In their mind, as they are superior to you.
Exactly.
And, all right.
They think they're superhumans.
And honestly, at that, whether it's intelligence, strength, or whatever, they're going to be there's nothing that you're going to be able to do that's going to be able to flip their perspective of that, is that they're always going to be better than you, and they're always going to be thinking about a way that they can manipulate you or abuse you or push you past a certain point.
Yeah. And but like that's very true for Hannibal, but for Bill, it's like Bill comes across as unintelligent, but he's got these like he's got a range of skills, but it doesn't really apply to the manipulation of people. Like he has to rely on brute force to like get his victims.
Exactly.
Like
with Hannibal, he can use his mind and bring you to him. Like he doesn't have to. With Hannibal, I feel like he doesn't have to exert as much energy or like. Exactly. He just doesn't have to try that hard compared to Hannibal. I mean, compared to Bill. Bill has to force you to do it.
I got a question for you guys. If you guys had to choose between being seated across a table, like just in a table, like a desk, no handcuffs, no chains, no nothing, like no muzzle on Hannibal's face. If you had to be or Bill's face, let's say, if you had to be across a table from one, which would you choose? All right, and there's a second part to this question. All right. Like if you had to be seated across and like have the conversation, which one would you choose?
The first to answer your first part, I'd probably choose Hannibal because I know he wouldn't react off his emotions. I think Hannibal is more of a logical person. He thinks before he does something, but he has a pause. Like he doesn't necessarily like just react. He thinks everything out like down to detail. So before he acts, if it doesn't go the way he planned, it's not how he wants it.
So you would do Hannibal.
Yeah, Hannibal.
Who would you sit with?
I think like this for like it's the craziest thing because I would like I'm convinced to say Bill because like I feel like because I fall outside of his like modus operandi for killing like I would want to sit across from Hannibal at least like I would spend my last few minutes like feeling comfortable before he chews my face off.
But you see, but then when you look at the film though as a whole, who's the real embodiment of evil?
I mean, they both are.
What I'm trying to say, I guess, is that I feel like, and personally, I feel Hannibal's more of, like, the definition of pure evil.
Yes. Because
he's able to be brutish.
Yeah.
But he could also be cunning, sly, manipulative, as opposed to Bill, who's just a fucking brute. I mean, I've met a bunch of violent people who just act off their impulses. Like, you give them a wrong look, and they'll turn around and smash a bottle in your face.
Yeah.
But, I mean, like, they're not always going to be acting like
exactly.
that. They're not always violent.
Yeah. Right? Exactly. They have a fun side. They have a, like...
Yeah, like, they're still a person.
Exactly. They're not... Their whole personality is not defined by just their violence. They have other parts to them.
But then, Hannibal Lecter... is in my mind, in my definition of the movie, he is supposed to be, through the director's artistic visions, he is supposed to be the definition of pure evil.
Honestly. Which I definitely think he is, because he might be charming, but you never know why he's being charming towards you. Like he might plan out, okay, use his charm to do evil on you, but Bill, he just is straight up evil. Like that's why I don't think he's the definition of evil, because his evil is not smart, his evil is not like manipulative, his evil is not like a way that will make you feel comfortable so that he can catch you when you're not paying attention. Hannibal is just, he's too complex for anybody to even understand or aware what he's trying to do. Like he can be nice to you, but he could actually be nice to you. But then on the other side, he can also be being nice to you to try to basically kill you, essentially, or do something mean. Well, as you can see, like the police detective, he never killed her.
Yeah.
He had so many opportunities to eat her face, slice her neck, do anything. He never killed her. That's why I think
he could have gone after.
Yeah, he could have gone after her many times.
Something that's even more surprising in the film is like the reason he's in there is because of the, I can't remember the guy's name, Yeah, the professor that she's working with.
Oh, yeah.
Like, he is the reason he is in there. Exactly. But he doesn't go after him. He goes after the one who's been actively his captor.
Well, yeah,
and has
that's
been
because...
actively tormenting him.
Exactly.
It's like he has, like, given up that ghost on, like, he has chosen a new target.
Exactly.
And, like, everything else in between, that's just collateral
and which
damage.
Is, and which is crazy because normally, in Buffalo Bill's case, he is stuck. He is stuck to what he's doing. Like, if you can't, like, in Hannibal's case, he chose a different victim.
Yeah.
He switched from the person that locked him up to the person that's been tormenting him, which is out of the norm for a psychopath. Because normally, when they get something down to detail, they're gonna fulfill that task before they move on to another task.
I think a good way to end it is since movie ends, of course, in a cliffhanger. What would you like to see in, if there were to be a remake? Obviously, there's not going to be a remake, a sequel, rather.
There was a sequel.
There was?
Yeah. Red Dragon.
Yeah,
God, I forgot about that.
No, but yeah, I haven't watched Red Dragon.
Neither
have I. I think he gets his man.
Yeah.
Like,
is it, guy, does it follow
I heard...
Yeah,
no, I started
it follows
watching
Hannibal.
Yeah.
Okay, because that's
watching.
Exactly
follows,
what I have wanted to see.
No, I started watching it in Criminology, but like we didn't get to. We watched like maybe 20 minutes. It was all right. All I know is that the teacher told us it doesn't even make sense to continue watching it because he said that it's nowhere comparable to The Silence of the Lambs. Like, it's not the film, it's not up there.
Okay. So, what I wanted to end on was just like. Why it becomes such a pivotal film in the history of, like, cinematography.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just because it has these, like, very deep, like, it has this deeply enriching relationship between all of the characters. You have, like, these reversals of motives and, like, these, like, sort of mirror images across, like, individuals. Like, you have Bill with his captive, Christina. And then you have Hannibal with his captor Chilton,
mm-hmm.
and you just get this. It's very complex and rich film, and it just works very well to make you uncomfortable. It gives you these two very unsettling characters.
Definitely.
That you like. Mm-hmm. You like. You're always acting. You want to root against Bill, but there are some moments that you want to root for Hannibal because you see that he is tormented a little bit,
mm-hmm.
like, and you see like. It almost seems unjustified.
You understand the motivation for his character.
Yeah, you understand. You can understand his motivations, but looking at Bill, there's no way on earth to understand him. He's just a barrel full of monkeys.
And I think that we always got to remember that these characters, at the end of the day, are going to be through the director's vision, all right? And they're going to be taking a certain amount of artistic liberties when they're creating these characters, especially when they're... when you're put in control of everything this person is going to be doing for the movie that you're making, you know? So we also should be looking at it kind of like that, I feel. Well, thanks for joining us.
We should do this again.
At
least something similar. Like, just, like, even if we're not recording.
Yeah.
Like, get together, talk about a horror movie.
Okay.
This has been Jaden, Alex, and Pearson signing off.
I do wish we could chat longer, but I'm having an old friend for dinner. Bye.
Dr. Lighter. Dr. Lighter. Dr. Lighter.